Now is it on? Okay. This morning we'll begin by I'll read chapter 2 and then we'll discuss it. Verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. The aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, not teachers of good, but teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet and chaste, keepers at home, good and obedient to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young women likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please themselves in all things, not answering again, but but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. There's some pretty strong statements here. But he's given direction. And what I'd say, like last week I said, Titus was some pretty good instruction. But I'd say he's giving us a condensed version of all the other things that's been said. This is what you need to adhere to. If you could live by just this one little book with three chapters, if you lived by that, you couldn't go wrong. By that one little book, it has it so condensed. Everything's in there. Okay? But in that first verse it says, speak thou. It should say, you speak the things which become. And the word become isn't a good word. It's not there anyway. The word for that would be genomei, and it's not there. It's another word. And it literally means what's fit or proper, okay? What's fit or what's proper. Speak things which are fit or proper, that introduce sound doctrine. What do you think the word sound means? Just the word sound.
Stable or something.
Error-free. Say error-free doctrine, okay, or instruction. So the instruction, he's saying, the instruction that you hand out to someone else, what should it be?
Should be right.
Excuse me, I didn't
hear you. Should be right.
Yes, should be a correct doctrine that matches with the scriptures. There's so many people that teach things that does not match the scriptures at all. Yeah. Well, he's saying there's people that even in this day was already teaching unsound doctrine, things that weren't in the scriptures, that the religious people had already pushed on them, and they began to believe it again.
Corrupt.
Yeah, it's corruptness. It's not pure truth.
Yeah.
Remember that the word that means precise, correct knowledge. See, we have to have that precise, correct knowledge. If I don't have it, how could I give it to you? It's impossible. See? And if you pass it to someone else, you've got to make sure not just what I said, but it's what you have went and checked out yourself to find out, was it true or not, right?
Yeah.
And then when you know it's true and you have that precise, correct knowledge of the truth, you can pass it to someone else. And most people can't keep their mouth closed long enough for their ears to absorb any truth. So, you know, that's where that is. And that's just the truth. Okay? And now it goes on in the next one down there, it says that in order that the aged men, what men would that be?
Old, wise men.
Doesn't necessarily mean old.
Mine says older men.
Yes, it doesn't necessarily mean old. It means mature. That's what it's speaking of, the ones that have grown up in Christ, that grown up in God. It's not talking about someone who's necessarily gray-headed. Because there's some people out there that's below the age of 40 that's pretty sharp. You know, they begin to absorb the things of God and really grow in it. And a lot of times, someone younger than 40, it's really difficult for them to hear the truth separated from the religious mindset. So it's not necessarily old men, it's just the mature men. But he must be what? Sober. He must be grave. What's the word grave mean to you? Okay. Literally, it's honorable.
I think when someone's grave, they're serious.
Yeah. Right. It's something serious. But this word right here has the meaning of being honorable. He must be an honorable person. Okay? He must be temperate. What's that mean? Temperate.
Easy going.
Well, self-controlled. Okay? Self-controlled is where we should be in that. And we also should be sound in faith. And again, that word sound, just like it was in that first verse, what did it mean?
Incorrect.
No, error-free. Error-free. So we should have faith that is what? Free from error. Would that be correct? See, we need faith, that we need the faith of God. So in Joel it says, the just shall live by his faith. Not my faith, but his faith. Correct? We live by, the just shall live by his faith, speaking of God's faith. And that is error free, I guarantee you. And in charity, which we all know is what? Love. And in patience. And what does patience really mean to you?
Cheerful
endurance or perseverance, absolutely. Okay? So we need these natures. And see, if you just read this King James, it really takes you off in thought processes that doesn't really mean what the writer was saying, because we're reading with a 21st century mind, and this is what, first, second, third century stuff, is BC or AD. You know, we're looking at a whole bunch of centuries in between and different meanings to words. So that's why we have to first find out what it says in the original language and then transfer it into what it is today so we can understand it. Verse 3, aged women. Well, what? Guess what? Aged women, what's the same thing as it was aged men? Mature ones. See? Ones who have shown the maturity of growing up. Likewise, they be in behavior, or what's the good word for that? It's their demeanor, their behavior or their demeanor. It's their actions, their attitudes all wrapped in one. Well, does that make sense to you? As becometh, right? Holiness. Or another good word for that would be reverent. She should be reverent. That means respectful in a lot of ways, a lot of different ways. It's not just something religious reverence. But we should have reverence to all people. Does it say the ones we go to church with, or the ones that believe like we do, or what? Who are we to be reverent to?
Anyone that comes into your presence.
All people. It's all. Not false accusers.
I'm lost. Not the devil.
Diabolos, and that means the false accuser.
Yeah.
See, not false accusers. They use the word diabolos, which is the translated word into devil. See, so when you're accusing people of things all the time, guess what? Guess what nature that's coming from? You think it's coming from a godly
nature?
It's not the Christ nature. So it's got to be the other one. Not given to much wine. Did it say, literally it's enslaved to much wine, but does it say you can't drink?
No.
It just says don't be addicted to it. Don't be a drunkard. Don't be a glutton in wine. Just if you have a drink, fine, have a drink. But you don't have to get drunk, sloppy drunk all the time. Somebody we would call an alcoholic, right? We don't need that. Because, you know, with that, what kind of mind would you have if you're persuaded every day by alcohol?
You'd be unstable, wouldn't you?
In any way you look at it, you'd be unstable. So you have to realize we can't be getting bombed and then figure we know the truth.
You're not dependent on Christ to be the calmer of your...
Yeah, you're taking the bottle.
Something external.
Is it any different for a drug addict? So different. Lois and I were just discussing this week about how people that are addicted to things, no matter what it is, if you're addicted to something, it's because your mind is weak. Would you agree? Okay. People turn to drugs and alcohol because they can't handle the process of change. So they go back into their minds and just burn themselves out with alcohol and drugs.
We were also using food.
Food, anything. You can be addicted to anything. I mean, you can be addicted to watching TV. You can be addicted to everything. You know, they're just, you have to use moderation in all things, don't you? So it's a weakness of mind when you can't, it's just another good word, lack of discipline. You know, weak mind or a lack of discipline. So many people have never been taught discipline from the time they were children. If they had been taught discipline, how many of them do you think would turn to those aspects?
Well, the witness, even in this, what you're teaching, there, you know, a lot of people would look at this as if you can't live up to those standards, you're condemned, you're under a condemnation.
But that's not what it's about.
No, it's telling you, and if you said, like you said, if you were raised in this, and it's not a mind-washing thing, it's a discipline thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you were disciplined in that, it would just be a natural way of life.
You deal with what you got to deal with and move on, see? You know, probably one of the greatest hindrances to success in life is failure. Would you agree? But how do you look at failure?
It's just different ways to not do something else.
You figured out a way that doesn't work, okay? Now see if there's any more in there. Let's try to find one that does work. See, a discipline would make you search for the one that works for you.
That's kind of like somebody read that if you run from your fear,
yep, it'll chase you.
But if you turn and face it, it'll dissipate.
Okay. There it is. Remember what it said in James? Resist the devil and he will what?
Flee from you.
Flee from you. Just what you said. See, when you face that thing in your mind, it's all in the mind, isn't it? Everything that you deal with, you know, people can label it outside, this thing, that thing, but still it's how you think about it, isn't it? So it's in here, huh?
It's only a thought.
And you got to know how to deal with that thought. If you can't compartmentalize or compartmentalize those thoughts and put them in the trash bin, just like in your computer, you know, you're going to get cluttered up to where you can't do anything. You have to learn to say, this is garbage, put it in the garbage can. Just that simple. It's not for me.
I heard an advertisement, I think it was a commercial for either a game or a movie that's coming on, said, man doesn't fall by the sword, he falls by the monster.
And the monster is his mind. Absolutely. That's something that we have to learn. Everything that you, just because you make a mistake, does that mean you're wrong? It means you made a mistake and you need to back up and try another route. That's just that simple. Do you think anybody, any of the great men in the world today that have had such great successes like Tesla, who invented the AC current, you know, and figured out how to harness it and how to make these big grids and everything. One of the wise men, he never got much credit for anything when he was alive, but he's the one that contradicted Edison. Edison said, you can't use that kind of electricity. But he proved him wrong. If he'd listened to Edison, you think he would have went very far? You think we'd be sitting here with these lights over our head today? Probably not. See, but you have to be challenged. And someone telling you you're wrong, I had a man tell me one time, about 97, I think it was. We had long after we built this on here. And we had all those floods and we had some issues, you know. And he come to me and he says, well, what's all this telling you? And I said, what do you mean? He said, what's all this telling you, all these problems coming after you? And I said, well, means I'm on the right course. He said, no, you idiot. It's telling you you're doing the wrong thing. I said, well, you don't understand anything. I said, the opposition tells me I'm doing the right thing, and it will make me try that much harder to get it right. Isn't that what it's for? Opposition's to make you stronger. Well, what's the song one of them got out now? What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. You think all those things are just coincidence? I mean, we can hear those words, but what do they mean?
Or do you believe it?
Yeah, do you believe it? You know, all my life, I've had to fight for things to get some. And I've always had this thing, you know, there's something there, but this isn't it. There's something better than what I'm attaining to now. There's something better. There's always something better. I can't sit down on what I did last year or the year before. There's still more. I'm never satisfied with that. And I've been challenged in my work, my jobs, my training, everything, all my life. I've been challenged. And when I think I'm there, I'm not there yet. He just keeps pushing me farther and farther and farther because there's more capacity there. And until you get to where you think you're there, even when I was in the service, that's one thing about the Marine Corps. I disdain the Marine Corps in their way of doing things to our own people while they're training us. But they took me to the end of where I thought I could go and then showed me I hadn't even used 10% of my capacity yet, even physically. And I never dreamed that possible, and most people don't, until they're challenged beyond the point where you think you can go. And then when you move beyond that point, you say, whoa, I blew by that one. What else might be out there?
You've done that.
Just like they've told you, you'd never walk again, right?
That you'd be in a nursing
home. So you can't believe that stuff. You have to say, no, you know what you know, but I know him. And he said, he didn't tell me that. So I'm going to go on. And I've been challenged all my life to do it. And it makes you grow. There's no option in the thing. Either you're going to grow or you'll be found a fossil. And a fossil is something you find dead in the earth. It left a mark, but that's all it did. Yeah, I'm not going there. See? I'm not giving up my position to a rock. Right?
No.
So it's a good thing. So all these accusations and challenges that come in our life, I got to share it with someone, and I can't remember who I was just sharing with. Wow.
Yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now I knew it was. This guy kept telling about all the things people was doing and had done to him. And I said, yeah, but you know what? They made you who you are today.
They did. It's not to you, it's for them.
And that's exactly what I told him. And he says, never thought of it that way. And I said, but they've made you stronger, haven't they, Charlie? He said, never thought of it that way. And I said, well, think about it. So I'm just giving you things to chew on. You'll see. So that's what we got to do. Where did I leave off there?
I don't know if you finished three or not.
We were down to the wine.
Yeah, well, we were down to the wine, yeah.
We lingered up at wine.
We lingered, we're not lingering that long.
Teachers of good things.
Teachers of what? Good things, but I still say the word should say God things. In my mind, I hear, I don't hear good, I hear God. Okay? In order that they, what? Cross out that word may right there before teach. In order that they may not teach, but the word should be discipline. See, discipline. Remember he said, if you continue in my word, you'll be my what? My disciplined ones. Okay? It's about disciplining our minds. Everything is about disciplining our minds. We start out in the natural, learning how to read and write and communicate. That's the first discipline we have. You'd be surprised how many college kids go out and don't even know how to talk.
No, I wouldn't deal with them.
Yeah. I'm talking with college graduates, PhDs, you know, doctorate degrees, and they can't even talk to you. They have broken English. You think they come out of a ghetto somewhere. And I'm not talking about just blacks. I'm talking about whites, same way. They use all kinds of horrible, horrendous renditions of English. And I'm not even educated, and I know that. You know, they can't even talk. It's amazing.
You know that word on the teach?
Yeah.
He said discipline, but it also says correct.
Yeah.
Correct or discipline.
Well, correction is part of a discipline.
Yeah. God corrects those he loves.
Right.
But he also disciplining us.
Right.
With that discipline that we learn to discipline ourselves, we're learning to embrace that correction.
That's right. It says, young women to be what? Sober, that's sound of mind. To love their husbands and to love their children. You know, that used to be a natural thing. Anymore it's not. It doesn't seem like. There's so many of them that don't. You know, they can throw their children in a dumpster or set them on the courthouse steps and walk away, or a fire department or wherever, and just walk away and leave their child and never come back. You know, I understand during the Depression some of that happened because they were starving and they had nothing to give them. I understand that. But today it's just they don't want to deal with the children. You know, they want to deal with the crying and the sickness and disease that they walk through.
That was maybe more of a hope that they would
yeah.
make it.
Yeah.
They weren't going to make it with them.
Well, they couldn't. They didn't have food to feed them, so they had to do something. Verse 5. To be discreet, what would that be?
Watch their tongue.
Huh?
Watch their tongue.
Just a second, yeah. Well, actually, discreet here means self-controlled.
I'd say behind the scenes, not having to be in the front of everything.
Yeah. Well, discreet here is, it's speaking of self-controlled, though.
Moderate.
Yeah, not making a scene of everything, not making everybody know your business, you know, airing your dirty laundry everywhere you go, you know.
So self-control, moderate attitude,
yeah.
Opinion or passion.
Yeah. See, self-control. Can self-control... Big pardon?
So there seems to be a common theme right there.
Do you think? So that discipline thing is a pretty big thing. That's what I'm trying to say. If you live by this little tiny book with three chapters, it can direct your life through. You could just take that right there and enough to know that it could direct you in everything you've got to do in this little tiny book. That's amazing. It's just a condensed version of it. Okay, discreet, we got self-controlled. Chaste, what does that mean?
Clean,
what'd you say?
Innocent, modest.
Yeah, modest. Yeah, the modest thing, because I think it has a sexual connotation to it.
Yeah.
And it says keepers at home. Now you know what it really says. The language actually says domestically inclined. It means they're homemakers, they're nesters. You know. And it's a natural thing for women to be nesters. I mean, that's the way God designed them. You know, they're the ones that set the house up and get things in order in the house. That's just the way it's supposed to be. It's a natural talent that's, it's given, it's like the female bird builds the nest, and the male bird goes out and provides the food for them, both for them and then for the little ones too when they come, while the mother bird takes care of them. I think a lot of them have. They need to be good. They need to be obedient. And I'm trying to see a word I wrote here, and I swear I'm struggling to see.
Before it says yield to the advice.
Yeah. And that's what it is, why I couldn't see. Yielding to advice given, see? A lot of people have struggles with advice, you know, given to someone, and then they don't necessarily want to do it that way, so they do it another way, and usually end up going the wrong way. So if that happens, who's responsible? If you refuse to accept the advice that's given. And I understand that, you know, you could think maybe that you're, someone's trying to tell you what to do, but advice is not telling you what to do. It's telling you what is probably the most profitable thing in your life right there. You know, this is probably the best thing for you. If you don't do it, anything happens, who could you complain to? Nobody. So you need to learn to take advice and not take it personal like someone's trying to tell you what to do. You need to understand that this is just advice, and it's hoping it'll help you, not hinder you, not to control you, not to manipulate you, but this is something, and that's one thing that the Marine Corps taught me, and like I said, I'm not a big fan of the Marine Corps today, but still, they taught me what discipline is. They taught me how to receive words spoken to me that didn't have to be in the form of an order, like an officer giving me a command. Didn't have to be that, but it's advice, and I hear it. You know, see, a wise leader does not control or manipulate you or try to shape you in certain things, telling you got to do this or you got to do that or you can't do this. But they just gently lead you down that path by giving you advice, rather than giving you a command. A command is rejected by most people, isn't it? Okay. So these people that try to lead by command, see, that's totally carnal. See, even in the church system, you don't command anybody to do anything. You only make suggestions. You give advice. And when you give advice, it should be received. If it's not, well, you have to deal with that one down the road yourself, you know. But that's the thing I'm trying to say to you. Lord, we've talked several times about things set privately, haven't we? And I've given you advice. True? Did I ever tell you you had to do anything? But I will give you advice in something. Maybe you didn't see it, or maybe you can come to me in something I didn't see. See? And I should take it and look at it. I did a thing here one time, and I said, you know, people have made complaints about me and the way we do things here, and I wrote two big yellow legal pad pages on both sides of things people had said and come back to me. They'd said that were my faults, and they figured they had a better way to do it, but they had no suggestions how to do it better, but they just wanted to complain. So I didn't hide it from anybody. I sat down right here in this room with everybody present at the time, and I said, now we're going to talk about some things. We're going to talk about all the things that y'all think I'm doing wrong. I'm not trying to tell anybody anything. I'm just telling you the one thing that is going on is that tongue wagging. That ain't a good thing, is it? And this book talks about it, them tongue waggers. And I said, you're making accusations. You didn't come to me according to Scripture. You should come to me if I have a fault. And tell me my fault. See? And if I won't hear it, then take it before the congregation. But you're taking, people are taking it, and was, at that time, was just slandering all over the place, you know. And I didn't confront him. I knew who they were. I didn't confront him. I just said, this is what they're saying. All these pages of stuff here, all these words that people spoke about me. But yet you're still here. And y'all greet me every time you come in and hug me and tell me you love me. Something wrong here in this picture, you know. And I'm just letting them know, I'm not judging them, and I'm not condemning them. I'm not telling them there's the door to leave, nothing like that. The truth will make people leave. Is that not true? When Jesus taught his 5,000 disciples one morning, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, what happened to them?
Except for the
12. Yep. And they said, no, you have the words of truth. See? So that's the whole thing. Truth will make people run. I can talk to people and just take a couple minutes. If it goes to a spiritual side in something, if I take it away from that carnal church doctrine and take it to the truth, they're gone. They're gone in a couple minutes. They're gone. They can't stand it because they want to think, their ego wants to tell them that they know everything and they know nothing.
They're listening to the wrong voice, which most of them are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when they get done, yeah, go right ahead. Wrong glasses.
To the ones that are listening with the right voice, they will be able to follow in your voice.
I got a gentleman I've been dealing with for a couple of years, and I think Saturday I got to talk to him for a while. He comes and asks me questions every now and then when nobody else is around. And we talked for a good while, you know.
What's his name, Nick Demas?
Yeah. Yeah, Nicodemus, yeah. So he wants to know some things, you know. I tell him, hey, if God ain't pressuring you, I'm not pressuring you. If he wants you, he'll come shake you out. Don't worry about it. Otherwise, just be good to everybody. You know, treat people right. You'll be all right. You'll be right where he wants you. Okay, what did we end up with?
Obedient to their own husbands.
Yep. Obedient, that means yielding to the advice of their own husbands. Not obedient, yielding to the advice of their own husbands. Whew. That changed it, didn't it? Took that obedient word out, that old, that nasty old word that everybody gets problem with. See, that's where they're going to make condemnation and guilt out of it. But it should be advice coming from the husband, not do it or else. See? And notice what it says, to their own husbands, the advice of their own husbands. See, that's my wife back there. She should listen to my advice. That's what it's saying. That's all. And I can't make her do anything. All I do is tell her, this is the best way to do it. It's up to you now. You weigh it up. It's up to you.
That's just a natural thing, teaching you about spiritual things going on inside of you.
Right.
But your emotions should be in subjection to the Christ within you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Take its advice. Not go your own way.
Yeah. And see, the Holy Spirit will never force you into anything. He'll give you options, I guarantee you. You can be the right option or the wrong option.
Get a little bit of crap.
It'll be there. Mm-hmm. Okay, verse 6, it says, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Okay? Sound-minded or moderate or self-controlled again. That's sober-minded, self-controlled in the mind. Verse 7, concerning all things, exhibit or show yourself a pattern of good works in not doctrine but teaching, showing uncorruptness. What's that uncorruptness? That's soundness. Showing soundness in all your teaching. That would be correct doctrine, wouldn't it? And then gravity, what's the gravity mean?
It's integrity.
Integrity or honor? The Greek actually points toward honor. And sincerity, sound speech, verse 8, means truthful words that cannot be condemned. Okay? That cannot be condemned. Let me read something out of the Living Bible. Sometimes this Living Bible says things that just right on the mark. It takes the context of everything and just puts it right where it should be. Okay. Verse 8. It's hard to find it in this. Okay. Your conversation should be so sensible and logical that anyone who wants to argue will be ashamed of himself because there won't be anything to criticize in any way, anything you say.
That says it pretty good.
Says it, doesn't it? See? If you make your words sound doctrine, then they can't come back at you in any way. And that's what makes them mad. Usually when I've had preachers stand over in town and cuss me and threaten to beat me. I had one right in here threatened to knock me out, stood up and drew his fist on me. You know, for nothing. Just because of what I see as truth, and he sees nothing but doctrine that the church teaches. None of my business, is it? That's their business. But if you say it, see, they can't contradict you. They want to fight you. They want to condemn you. That right there shows you there's an error in their thinking, doesn't it? Sometimes this Living Bible can get really good. And the last part of 8 there where it says, having no evil thing to say of you, the word of you is literally concerning you in the actual language. Okay? But I think the Living Bible said it as good as anybody could say it. Just read that and that said it. Verse 9, exhort servants or slaves to be obedient to their own masters, say to their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not what? Not answering again or what? Not talk back, okay? No disputing or contradicting what the master says. If you're a servant, then what right have you got to contradict what the master has to say? And you know, when you, like you said, Lord, if you take it inside, see, when the man speaks, the woman should be what? Silent. See? We're talking about our emotional woman inside. That's right. Verse 10, not purloining. What's purloining mean?
Like keeping it for yourself.
Embezzling?
Yeah.
Pilfering?
Selling it for yourself.
Yeah. Selling something, putting it in your own pocket when it should be in the master's pocket. But showing all good fidelity. What's that mean? Good fidelity.
Faith.
Absolutely. Showing good faith that they, cross out the word may, that they what?
Adorn.
Adorn or honor the doctrine or the teaching of God, our Savior, our Deliverer, in all things.
I have a footnote that says, set off the beauty of the gospel.
Do what? Say it again?
Set off the beauty of the gospel.
Well, by adding to it, you're adorning. I understand the thought they're coming from, that adorning thing, but...
Well, adorning also means like you adorn yourself in clothing or whatever you're wearing.
Make yourself respectable and holy and righteous.
Or you're wearing the word.
You're wearing the gospel on the outside.
Yeah, I couldn't get it out.
Is that?
Couldn't get it out.
Yeah.
All right.
What you're saying, what you're living the gospel. You're just living the truth. And if you live the truth, it's not about what we actually wear, and you know that. It's about the outward appearance of who you are, your nature and your character. It should be on the outside.
And that should, that's beautiful.
Sure is. It has nothing to do with your physical looks. It's your nature and character.
That's beautifully adorning.
The nature of God.
Yes.
Yeah. It's adorning the gospel, the truth.
Is what it should be.
Okay. Verse 11 goes on to say, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Ooh. To who?
All.
All? Wonder what the Living Bible says. Here's what it says. For the free gift of eternal deliverance is now being offered to everyone. Really? It's offered to everyone. It is. But every man in his own order. Okay. Teaching us, verse 12, that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, which means what? Moderately. And righteously or justly and godly in this present what?
Age.
In this present age. You can say now, right now is what it's all about in any time in your life. But the word there is aeon. Verse 13, looking for or expecting the blessed hope and the glorious appearing or the manifestation of the great God and our Savior or Deliverer, Jesus Christ. See, Jesus did save us, but he's also delivering us through the Spirit of God, which was the same one that Jesus walked with, wasn't it? If it wasn't, we're in bad shape. There's only one Holy Spirit. Verse 14, who gave himself for us that he, cross out the word might because it wasn't a maybe, was it? He did it to redeem us or to ransom us from all iniquity. To do, redeem us from what? How much iniquity? Well, if he did all, what's anybody pointing a finger at you for anything? See, they have no right. What other people think about you is none of their business, is it? They let that go. Just let it blow on by because they don't know what they're doing. But he did it to redeem us from all iniquity and to cleanse us to himself a what? What's that word? It's not peculiar. It's special. A special people, zealous of good works. So that means we love to do good works. We're zealous to do it. We were quick to do it. We don't have anything else we want to do. We just want to help people.
Yeah.
I've been told many times through my life, why are you always giving things away? Why do you help people? Why do you put yourself in that position where they can kick you in the teeth? And I said, I can't change because they're rear ends.
Yeah.
Just because they're not very good people doesn't mean that I have to be like them, does it? And just because they do something bad to me, when I do something good for them, they cheat me or lie to me or steal from me, you know, that's not my fault, is it? I didn't make them do it. They did it because of what's in their hearts. So guess what? I'm going to continue being who I am because it's got me this far and it'll take me the rest of the way. I'm not worried about it. And any more about stealing something from me, my goodness. I realized years ago that if I got too much of something and somebody else don't have enough of it, if they come and steal it, that might be God's way of just getting it out of my hands into somebody else's anyway. So, yeah, so I'm not worried about it because my Father has everything. Not just a cattle on a thousand hills, but on every hill and everything else on this earth. So I don't have to worry about anything. Just do what I'm supposed to do. Okay, verse 15. He said, these things speak and exhort and rebuke. And the word rebuke literally points to correct. And correct with all what? Let no man despise you. Let me read this out of the Living Bible. You must teach these things and encourage your people to do them. Hear that? Encourage. Didn't say threaten. correcting them when necessary as one who has every right to do so. Don't let anyone think that what you say is not important. Sometimes this little book, this little thing says things that most people don't realize. It's a good little translation to have laying around. It'll say it in terminology we understand today. It's not written in 16th century English. Any comments, questions?